This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Fans are on the edge of their seat. It's building. It's building. It's electric at the moment.
Yes, yes, yes,
yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Here's the siren. Arms in the air. That has gone through. What are we seeing? Just incredible.
Bunch of boys can't get enough when the girls don't need your love. Cool says boys don't cry.
This is Gay FL.
That's right, this is Gay FL, a queer footy show, and we're your hosts, Brendan.
And Chris.
How are you?
I am living my best queer life at the moment and loving every minute of midsummer. How about you?
I love it. It's our hot gay boy summer. I don't know about, you know, boy, I'm a bit of a man. It depends who you ask.
But I'm not sure about we're hot, but well, we think we are.
Well, we certainly are. So what have we been up to?
We actually had a wonderful time this week. If you caught our episode last week or the podcast that we put out about it, we went to Footballers Are a Godsend by Samuel Roberts, who was our guest.
Yeah, it was wonderful, especially being a footy loving, you know, obviously we're a footy loving podcast,
really?
A footy loving show. We got to actually sit down and watch Samuel's show, and it was I laughed, I cried, I died a little bit inside, but it was a really poignant show.
Yeah, it was really good, and he's obviously bringing that back for the festival shortly and also to Adelaide for...
Melbourne International Comedy Festival, that's pretty cool.
And The Fringe in Adelaide.
And The Fringe, yeah. So, yeah, that was really fun.
And how much do we love getting around midsummer? We say every year we're going to do more stuff, but we're actually doing a few things this year, including this weekend.
Yeah, for those that aren't aware, the annual Pride March on Sunday. So the weather's looking pretty good. It's always normally stinking 42 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So I think weather is going to be what? What did we say it was going to be?
I think it's going to be like 22 or something. I'm not a weather show.
No, that was shout out to Warren has the weather earlier on, but...
Yeah, he does that for us.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. We love Pride March, and we're going to be there marching proudly with Joy.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to be marching with Joy this year. We'll also have to say a quick hello to our friends at the Purple Bombers who are usually there as well. But it is going to be exciting to march with Joy and get around community. And it's going to be nice to not get mild heat stroke this year.
Oh, my God. I love that for us.
Speaking of this year, next year, and everything that's going on, Game On is back in this time slot next week.
Yeah. Jax was very kind enough to let us keep her spot warm, but she'll be returning next week at 6 p.m. But for those of us, you know, anyone that's enjoyed hearing, we're very excited to tell you we will be back.
We sure will. We actually have a brand new time slot, still Wednesdays, but the good thing is we're going to 9 o'clock in the evening, which is actually great because we can play some songs with some words in them that we can't actually play in this time slot.
Does that mean, can we drop the F-bomb?
I think we can. Maybe. And maybe, unless we get told we can't, we're just going to do that anyway. We'll just open the show with an F-bomb.
Yeah. What's that thing? Like, ask for forgiveness later. What's that saying?
I think, ask for forgiveness and permission. Sorry, Elliot.
Story of my life. So, we're very excited. We'll be back next week, 9 p.m. We're very, very excited to cover. I remember when we started this, we were a little bit like, what are we going to talk about in the off season? And I feel like we've had quite a lot. There's been a lot of off-field content, a lot of off-field drama, but I can't imagine how much we're gonna have to talk about when the season actually starts.
We might actually have to talk about some football games, which is something we have not done on these 8 episodes.
Oh, does anyone really care about the actual games?
Yeah, I don't know. I suppose we enjoy the games a little bit. I am very excited to be getting amongst the season, and we're very excited. We're going right through the season, hopefully this year, at least till July at this stage, which is fantastic.
I'm really looking forward to the season. And stuff. I think this is a the most excited I've been for a season to start. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, Essendon bias aside, there's, you know, there's a lot of excitement, and I'm looking forward to a fresh start and seeing what the 2026 premiership season brings.
Yeah, there's been a lot of retirements, a lot of movements. There's a lot going on and changes across the board in 2026, and I think we're going to see some exciting things. I haven't written Essendon off yet. Let's let them play a game before we do that. I'm keen to see what the boys do. They've been training hard and getting ripped in the off season. Their new high performance manager. Kudos to them.
They all look amazing. Like, they are working out. They're shredded. They're ready to tackle. And I'm here for it. Look, I'm cautiously optimistic. We'll go to a practice game. See how it goes.
Yeah, I actually saw an interesting comment just on the way here, actually, from Nick Dacos. Because you know, every year for the last couple of years, people write off Collingwood and go too old, too slow. Yeah, every year. But this year, they've actually done quite a bit of youth recruiting in the off season to kind of counterbalance that. I don't think we've seen the last of the Collingwood team right now.
No, I don't think so. And something I wanted to touch upon just really quickly as well was that, you know, not only is there a lot of excitement and a lot of movement, but there is a lot of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of players that we don't know where they're going to be in 2026, and we're not going to know until the season starts.
Yeah, and that's the best thing about football. A week is a long time in footy, and we have a full season ahead of us.
Absolutely. Now, as it's our last episode, we want to play some pop girl bangers. But if you want to send us a text, please do so. 0427-569-949. We'd love to hear from you. But coming up next, in the spirit of girl power, Spice Girls themselves, Wannabe. Yo!
You're listening to Gay FL, a queer footy show with Brendan and Chris on Joy 94.9.
That's right. It's Gay FL with Brendan and Chris. And early this week, we were very lucky to sit down with a special guest. In the spirit of girl power, we're all for girl power here at Joy.
We sure are.
At Gay FL.
Courtney Johnson is a former college tennis player who grew up watching footy from a young age. With the advent of the AFLW, Courtney turned that passion into on-field success as a dual premiership player and leading goal kicker at her Adelaide Footy League club. She was also an inaugural player for the Woodville West Torrens SANFLW side. 4 seasons into her coaching journey, Courtney is now the head coach of the under-18 Central Districts women's team in their inaugural season, bringing a human-centered approach to coaching that prioritizes connection and well-being alongside high performance. Welcome, Courtney!
Courtney Johnson from the Central Districts Football Club. Thank you for joining us here on Gay FL.
Thank you so much for having me.
And actually not just on Gay FL, but in studio as well. You've made the trip across from Adelaide.
Absolutely. We're here for the tennis, and what a beautiful opportunity it was to come and speak with you, tie in some tennis and come and talk footy.
We were very happy to talk some footy with you, but we do have to talk some tennis as well, because one of my favourite things to find out is how people got into football. But your background was not football at all. So take us through that. What took you from tennis to football? Where did that all start?
It was a very interesting road. So I did live in Melbourne, actually, from 16 to 18. I went to Box Hill Senior Secondary College. Shout out to Box Hill Senior Secondary College. And then I was playing the Junior Australian Open.
Mm-hmm.
And my doubles partner and I, we were looking at what was next in our career, and we both decided to go to college. So I ended up actually in Miami, Florida, with my tennis, where I did I graduated from there, got my degree in journalism and marketing, and then I stayed and worked in the States, which I loved. It made me the human that I am today. And then I moved back to Adelaide, didn't do the tennis thing, and then a few years down the track, I happened to be at a boot camp in the morning with my PT and his partner, and she was at a club that was starting up football. And he said to me, "You are so athletic, you should play football." And I'm like, "Don't do contact sports. I'm a tennis player." He's like, "But you're just so athletic. You should give it a go. Go out, like, have a kick and see how you go." Probably 3 months of persistence got me out there to Broadview Football Club in South Australia. And, yeah, the rest is history, I guess. I did go out and stayed signed up. And 5 years later at Broadview, off I went in my footy career.
And here we are.
Yeah, and here we are today.
So did, like growing up in South Australia, did you actually follow football growing up, or was tennis the be all and end all?
No, I was born and bred into a footy family.
You don't have much choice in Adelaide, yeah, do you?
You do not. You do not. So my family are Eagles, Woodville West Torrens supporters. Mm-hmm,
The Weagles.
The Weagles. So I was an Eagles supporter going as from a little girl. I would go to the games. So that was the first club that I actually played for. So I was in the inaugural year in the sample for the Eagles, which was super exciting for my family. My name is forever going to be on the wall in the club rooms as an inaugural player. So, yeah, I was an Eagle from birth, I guess, and then in AFL, Adelaide Crows fan.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there's a really diehard rivalry, that crosstown rivalry in Adelaide, and that's something that is always enjoyable to talk about. But speaking of your journey into AFL, like obviously as a young girl, you didn't have that pathway to go, one day I can be an AFLW player, like because it didn't exist until 10 years ago. What's it like reflecting on that and going, There are now this whole generation of young girls. I know you are the head coach of the Development Academy in the Central Districts Football Club as well. What must it be like for them growing up, knowing that they can have this future now?
Yeah, so really interesting because I was actually a very good netballer when I was younger. So that was the team sport that I played. And then, yeah, it was just a moment that happened that got me down the tennis path. But given my family background and the love for football, I believe I absolutely would have gone down that path from that young age if it was available to me.
Yeah.
So seeing what girls can do now at five, they can go and do Auskick and then their pathway is set. We have really good pathways for the girls that it can be a profession. You can be a professional footballer. That is your job. Different world. That was not available, yeah, to me.
I mean, it is a very traditionally male-dominated sport, both on and off the field, I think. How do you think the conversation has changed for women, not just playing, but behind the scenes in the football clubs as well?
I think it's just opportunity and that it is an option now. I think it's really challenging sometimes because I just don't think gender should matter in this space. I think if people are good at their job by merit, then they just are good, right?
It should be skill, not gender.
Absolutely. Yeah. It should be skill, not gender. Like if you're good at what you do, it shouldn't matter. But the fact is that it still is a challenge. But I am seeing a really good growth in that space, particularly in the support staff side of things. So obviously, we do have the pathway. So we've got the sample W. We have the 18s that I'm the head coach of this year. And I'm really proud to say that my whole support staff are female.
Wow.
Which, you know, again, I got people that were good and right for the job.
On merit.
On merit. And they put their hands up and I did my homework and had conversations and that's who came forth and that's who I've got as my team. So I'm super excited to see what the other clubs are putting up in regards to that too, because normally there's like one female on the sort of supporting staff, so or two, but not the whole crew. So, yeah.
Because this is, of course, the transition from the Development League into the Under 18 League in South Australia, isn't it?
Correct. So, I guess to make it equate for you guys over here, it's like their Coats
18. League. Yeah.
Yeah, for the boys. So, yeah. It's a genuine pathway into the AFLW. So, the way I see it playing out, that I'll have players that play under me in my league that will then be age eligible for league, the Sample W League. And then they will go on to get recruited and drafted into the AFLW when they're 18. So it's leveling up, right? So that is how the boys go through the system. And in terms of the girls, we didn't have that. They would play like Sample W and then when they're 18, they go. But now they'll play 18s and then the really good ones will go up to play league.
Yep.
And then naturally they will get recruited and drafted into the AFLW.
It's absolutely wonderful seeing these pathways and these opportunities for young girls and women, but like we were saying, both on and off the field. But it's not just the sort of the gender inclusion that the AFLW gets really right. I mean, this is a queer show.
Sure.
We talk about a lot of queer issues. I mean, it's kind of what we do. What do you think about that? We were talking off air about the queer representation in the W.
Yeah. So I think naturally we sort of are fully aware that I say we, because I identify as a queer female, that we are overrepresented in terms of the community numbers. Yeah. But, I mean, without us, the league doesn't get born. So here we are now, and, yes, we're over represented in terms of community, but it's an amazing league. And I think the infrastructure and everything around it is there for us to thrive. So I'm just watching the growth in the Pride and the queer space and people feeling comfortable and being themselves no matter what their background is really exciting. And it's just how it should be, right?
But absolutely,
it takes time.
I was actually talking with some people recently about queer representation in football that, you know, sometimes it just takes that conversation and that space. And the focus is always on the AFL and like the men's and the women's at the highest level. But if we're going to change culture, particularly if we think about moving into the men's, changing that culture, I really feel it needs to start at junior footy and it needs to start at club footy before it actually gets to it. Like by the time they've been drafted and played their third year, it's almost too late.
100%. I think I can speak to Adelaide Footy League in South Australia that there's a lot of work going on at the grassroots level. My club are pretty amazing at it. We have amazing people in the right spots that are ensuring everyone feels safe and welcome. Mm-hmm. I do follow a lot of different Instagram pages that have a huge focus on some injustice that goes on and some not fun things that happen in that space. So it's sad to see that that's still happening. But I would say also that there's a lot of hard work going on by those people that are volunteers at that grassroots level to ensure that people do feel safe and included, because if they're not feeling that at that level, they're not going to grow and go on to be playing AFLW because they just will not play because they're not safe. So
yeah, and I think we've all seen that media out there, and it's very easy to get focused on what the clubs aren't doing right. What would you like to tell me about what the SANFLW, particularly at your level in the U18 space, but also the Central Districts Football Club in particular? You know, that's a very working class suburb up at that part of town.
Yeah, so our club, I think, is pretty elite in this space. Our wellbeing and psychosocial safety stuff is through the roof. We are actually just this week we had a psychologist in to talk to our girls. We have open door policy, we have wellbeing support staff that are dedicated to looking after our players in that space. I know through conversation I have a lot of queer players that feel safe and comfortable with all our staff speaking about their issues. I just know their relationship, so I can catch up and be like, how's your partner? How's your girlfriend? Like, this is just normal for us. So I think in terms of our club, we've just created that really safe space. And then the SANFLW, I think there's not yet a Pride round, but I think it's on the cards for the future.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that like Adelaide Footy League is leading the way in some of the clubs that do have some Pride round matches. They wear the Guernsey, they do the socks, they're all out there. And I look to those clubs and I think it's amazing to see. So, yeah, we'll get there. But I see AFLW as the gold star in regards to Pride Round at the moment still.
Yeah, absolutely. The W Pride Rounds, we were talking about it earlier, is such an amazing space to get along to. And some people, it's the only game they get to because it's the – but one thing I love, and, I will just say this before we move on, but the community feeling at the W, it is different. Like – you absolutely can bring your full self as a fan.
Absolutely. And I'll shout out to my Rainbow Crows. They're very visible. They do an amazing job in Adelaide. But, yeah, the family atmosphere is set up from the ovals that it's played at, the inclusion. And something that I always tell people that don't go to many games is the player interactions. The players have so much time for the fans, just the way they engage after the game and they have time. You can't be what you can't see, right? So if you're able to walk up to – your favourite player and get a photo. They spend time with the players and the families and the kids. You can't be what you can't see.
Absolutely. And we will be coming back to this, and particularly about what you're installing at the club with your inaugural role there. We will be coming back after a few messages and maybe a song or two. But if you stay with us on Joy 94.9, we'll be back talking to Courtney Johnson from the Central Districts Football Club in South Australia.
You're listening to GayFL, a queer footy show with Chris and Brendan on Joy 94.9.
Courtney Johnson, head coach of the U18 Central Districts Football Club for the women in South Australia. Thanks for joining us again on GayFL.
Absolute pleasure to be here.
We are loving talking to you. But I think you know, a lot of people that listen to us are probably over here in Melbourne and maybe aren't so versed with the Sandfall and the Sandfall W in particular. Now, the Bulldogs is a very proud and very successful club, both in the men's and women's space. Talk us through the club and what it's like down there, because I think, what is it, 10 premierships between the men and the women?
Yeah, it's a hugely successful club, particularly in the male space. Mm. The women have won one premiership. Mm-hmm. The best part about, I think, our club is we are in the heart of, like you said, that working class.
Yeah.
But we do recruit, and our zone is actually to like the Barossa sort of area.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting girls into our program that are traveling a bit of a ride to get to training and everything like that. So they're raised a little different out there. You'd say they're country kids.
Yeah.
And then you've got the locals in our area that are more the metro side as well that form our zone. So that makes for a really eclectic and diverse group of humans that, play at our club.
Which is actually a really interesting segue basically into your philosophy at the club, because obviously as the head coach, and you were the head coach of the Development League as well, you know, what do you bring to it from that perspective, and how do you create that space where this very diverse range of young women can bring their full self to the club?
Yeah, my philosophy that everyone is very used to hearing me about that's in the space and it hangs out around me is human first, footballer second. So very much that human-centered approach to sport, because I believe that if that human isn't like happy, comfortable and safe away from the minute that they walk in the change rooms, we're just not going to get high performance out of them. Connection and relationships are another huge one to me, that I know how my players are traveling. And with that, that might mean that we have conversations that are really tricky, and I need to provide a safe space for them to have that. And that could, on the back of that, that could mean that they don't train that night or something like that, because I've walked through the doors, I've spotted them because I've got that relationship, and I'm like, hey, I can see you're not going well. I'll just pull you, you know, subtly, never in front of a group would I call someone out. It'll be managed very delicately. No one would know it even took place, to catch up and see what's going on. And that could mean a lighter session on the track for a player because, their well-being is the most important thing to me. And I think that's really well known. So I really pride myself on that.
And it's something I think there needs to be a lot more of in football. I think that's an amazing philosophy. And we've actually talked about it a lot in the men's space, that it's only now that you're starting to hear male footballers talking about taking personal leave and stuff like that. It's like, and your comment that they are a person first and a footballer second. Like, at the end of the day, for a lot of people, this is a job or it is a passion, but we're all still human and we all have stuff going on.
Yeah, particularly the group that I'm working with, they're young people. So some of them are working and going to school and the football. And then on the flip side, some of them football is life and they want to be an AFLW player. So there's so many mixed challenges that I'm working with around that because, yeah, it's okay to be in a high performance program and your goal is to maybe debut in league. That's your goal. And then I might have a whole segment that are like, I'm going to be an AFLW player. So managing all the different circumstances and the reason while they're there brings different issues to the fore, because we've got lots of girls that are really hard on themselves. Like that's probably one of my major conversations that I have, that they have a bit of an off night on the track and they're just really down. So we have to like move on from that and be like, that's why we have training. That's okay. And something that we like to talk about also is, you know, particularly with female athletes, people having periods, that's another big one with hormones and performance, that we have an idea. So providing a safe space that they can actually talk about that with us. So we know, hey, I can say to my coaches, hey, play X isn't going that well at the moment because she's on her period or she's at this phase and she's just not at 100%. So let's tailor her tonight to a different sort of intensity. That's a big one that I think we're moving in the right direction on. At our level, we don't have the huge amount of science behind it that I know they do at AFLW level, but I think it's really good that it's being talked about. And I think that's step one, right? We've got to be talking about it. And then there can be action taken to support our athletes.
And I think you mentioned something in the last break about, you know, your club is predominantly women with your team and the support group that you have around you with the club. But I think having women in the room that can at least have those conversations or be aware of those issues that maybe some men in the game may not have even occurred to them.
Yeah, and I think, and again, my previous season was working with an amazing group of men that are actually men who have daughters, right? So they actually are across this. But it's funny that just girls, for whatever reason, don't feel as comfortable. Like, it's not, that's not a negative thing. That's just how it
is. It's just a reality. Yeah.
So I want to be really clear on that. And then, yeah, we do have a male trainer as well, and he's great. So I would hope that our girls feel safe coming to him. But yeah, I think maybe if we did do a survey on that you might see that stat come through, that they're not as comfortable. But eventually, like, everyone needs to be comfortable talking to everyone, because that's the goal, right? If we want equality, it just shouldn't matter across the board. Gender shouldn't be
agreed.
That's our goal, that it's not a conversation.
Yeah. But I think also, and we were talking about the human first approach just there, but we touched on high performance as well. And I read that lovely article on you from the Gawler Press, where you were talking about some of these girls, they, you know, it's a big change from kicking a footy around an oval in Tanunda on the weekend versus being in a high performance, like, because the AFL is getting harder and tougher and more skilled every single year. Like, that's a pretty big baptism of fire.
Yeah, so it's a profession now, right? So we had a player drafted last year, Sophie Eaton, and she's gone into the AFLW, and I had a chat with her. Actually, she came out to visit us during the week, and I had a chat with her saying, how's full-time footballing going? Like, how cool, right? Yeah. That's her job. And, you know, these kids start at clubs that are absolutely, they're doing their best that they can with the, it's volunteers mainly, right? That they're working with them, and then they get good really quickly, and then their parents go, oh, there's a youth development, because we have the 15s and the 17s also out at Centrals, because that's the pathway. And they get that taste playing in that environment. So they're with all the elite, you know, under 15 and 17 year olds. And then we obviously were created, the 18s league. So now we're a whole different ball game. Like, we are like a pretty much the same as the Sanford W in training terms.
Wow.
We do one less session a week. But we have all the same sort of running programs, the same requirements in regards to that. We have the S&C that track our time trials, that give us our running groups, and then our training sessions go for the same amount of time. So I think it's a huge change from what they're used to, but we have the systems in place that ensure that they are safe and looked after. I will say, after session one, we had a lot of girls on the side with a few sort of overuse related things that within one session, they're like, oh, my body. But by the break over Christmas and returning after the Christmas break, we were in really good shape. We gave a running program, and yeah, you can just see without just in that amount of time, say 4 months, that we've already got them up to speed in that elite environment. So that's really exciting.
And with the U18 side in South Australia being, this is the inaugural season with your club, like, without setting the expectation too high or dropping the bar too low either, what are your goals for this year? What do you want from the girls this year?
Well, I can't help myself. I want to win. I want to win the premiership. But in terms of where we're at, we're actually traveling really well. Mm-hmm. So the good news for our club is, and I don't really worry about what's happening at other clubs, but our age eligible cohort, we have a significant amount that are like training with league, because they're already at that sort of level. But in terms of age eligibility, we can field a really strong team that can compete really strong. So we're really excited. I don't want to blow us up too much here, but I think we're looking really good. The girls are feeling really good, but most important to me, they're really happy. So they come to training, and we have a lot of fun. And my connections are pretty strong in that I get a lot of feedback from the players. And I ask for it too. I'm like, hey, I'm rolling out a new drill tonight. Tell me what you think. And they let me know. Like, Courts, I think we need to add a kick on there. I didn't quite like. Cool, thank you. And then we make the adjustments. I talk with my line coaches, and they also give me that feedback that this is what the players said. So in terms of where we're at, I think we're in a really good spot.
Fantastic. I can't wait to see what happens this season for your girls. It's pretty exciting. And look, participation and inclusion can look like a lot of different things for a lot of different people. Not everyone necessarily wants to be on the ground. What's your message to young girls and women that want to get involved somehow in football, either as a player, back of house, or even just as a fan?
Just start. pretty simply. I guess maybe there's connections that are there that you can, you know, use to put your name in, put your hat in the ring. We're always looking for people to bring into the environment. You probably won't get told no, because we are still at that part where the more hands make light work. So I think just have a go. So that would be the behind the scenes side. And in terms of playing, there's so many options out there at the footy clubs now that they have the junior clubs and the junior teams. So most clubs these days have got that entry level sort of Oz kick or under eights or something like that that girls can play. They're not told when they hit that age, oh, you've got to stop now. So the pathway is there. So show up, you know, sign up, show up. And with parent support, I think I really believe it's there these days. I really do.
It's a wonderful message. And one thing that we love talking about on GAFL is that football is our national game and it is for everyone. So I think that concurs pretty closely with the message that you just put out there, that football is for you.
Absolutely. And everyone is the key there, that the clubs are trying to make it really inclusive. So no matter what your background is, where you come from, the clubs are putting things in place, whether it's financially, if you've got challenges, you know, for the queer community, it might feel daunting for a lot of people to walk in historically very masculine environments where they don't feel safe. I think that's changing. So have a go, show up. Yeah, I really encourage people to not think that it's not for them.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And this is Chris from GAFL talking with Courtney Johnston from the Central Districts Football Club in South Australia, the inaugural head coach of the U18 side. We'll be back soon for some quickfire questions.
This is GAFL.
That's right. It's GAFL with Brendan and Chris. And that was the incredibly talented Courtney Johnston. Courtney, if you're listening, I'm sorry I marbled up your intro. Me foul English? That's impossible.
Actually, I think Courtney might actually be listening. And, you know, this is the bit that we were talking about. And I know she was excited for, but also a little nervous for. So, Courtney, without any further ado, we're going to go to quickfire questions.
Are you ready for it?
Get ready for some GAFL quickfire questions.
If you could meet anyone living or dead, who would it be?
Living!
Courtney Johnston, under-18s coach for the Central District Football Club in South Australia, thank you for joining us for quickfire questions.
Thank you so much.
Now, the theory here is don't overthink it. First thing that comes to your mind, just let me know what you think. I'm going to try and go easy on you. Now, in the National W Comp, thinking at the seniors, who would be in your dream team? A couple of players.
Ella Roberts.
Fair.
Libby Birch.
Yep.
Matilda Scholes.
That would be a very formidable. Good call. Yeah, no, I love that. Big fan of Libby Birch in particular. Yeah, they're wonderful, wonderful women. Now, speaking of Libby Birch, which was a nice segue into question two, can anyone beat North Melbourne in 2026?
Probably not.
They are formidable as well. Now, thinking back to South Australia, Adelaide or Port in the W, the national W, who's going to finish higher on the ladder?
Ouch. Is that an answer?
No, I will accept ouch for an answer if you would like. Would you like to plead the fifth on that one?
Yes,
please. I think that's fair. We'll move on. Okay, now you've played footy, you also coach footy. Is it more exciting to play in an amazingly won game or to coach and watch your plan come to fruition?
Watch my plan come into fruition.
Ooh.
Yeah, other people are delivering it. So I think that's just the connection piece, showing that the idea and what's been formulated can be executed by other humans. I think that gives a thrill that I don't think I got when I played football.
It's pretty special.
Mm.
Now, I know you mentioned in the last break that you don't pay too much attention to what's going on in the other teams because you're focused on the Doggies, but who do you think is the one to watch in the W this year, in the SANFLW, in your league?
If the youth development was anything to go by, I'd say Norwood.
Oh, the Redlegs.
Yes.
Okay, I'll have to keep an eye out for that. Now, would you say the Redlegs is the Doggies' biggest rival these days, or who would be the Doggies' biggest rival?
Oh, just notoriously, I think South Adelaide. We have a pretty big from the league team, which actually filtered down to my development crew, and they were just amazing. Their development team were very strong. Glenelg won the premiership last year, but just the rivalry with South Adelaide, from what I've seen with Centrals, brings out South have been so amazing for so many years. So I think that just brings out their fighting spirit of the Bulldogs.
I love that. All right. Now, this can be a deep question if you want it to, or if you don't want it to be deep, you want it to be light, that's fine too. What's your one wish for this SANFLW season this year?
That we win the premiership.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go with that. I think that's a really good one. Now, this is where it gets a little bit heavy. This one is a heavy, deep, controversial question. We do like to ask one controversial question to put you on the spot. Now, I do know this is probably not something you're going to do because you're a vegetarian.
Correct.
Is it a palmer or a palmy?
Palmy. eggplant palmy.
I just heard millions of Victorians cry internally, but I grew up saying palmy too, so I had to ask you.
I knew that was going to hit like that.
I was either going to ask you that or what the hell is an Adelaide point? Thanks so much for joining us for Quickfire Questions. Thank you for joining us here on GAFL. Good luck for the 2026 under-18s inaugural season. I can't wait to see what your girls do.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a blast.
Thank you so much for joining us, Courtney, when you were here with us. It was honestly a pleasure to talk to you. And, if you're listening, I hope you enjoyed the interview. I also wanted to give a quick shout out to Sam and Lynn, who were there with us as well in the background. I think we actually might have even heard Sam giggle in the background at one point there. It was a pleasure meeting you as well. So definitely thank you for coming on board to GAFL.
Yeah, and I want to shout out to you, Chris, for pronouncing inaugural correctly, unlike myself. So thank you. You clearly that word of the day calendar that I go to you one day is paying off.
It really did help, so I genuinely do appreciate it.
You're welcome.
We do have one quick segment to throw to, as we always do at this time of day, but before we do, we did get a text in just not long ago from one of our lovely, lovely regular listeners, Maxie, who has been listening to Courtney speak and mentioned how much they love the person-centered approach. And thank you for sharing that, sending love hearts. So, Maxie, thanks for listening.
Thanks, Maxie.
And Courtney, I think there's more than a few people that agree with that approach, and very much we do as well. So we are going to, without further ado, just move on to our other favourite segment for this time of day.
It's time to take a look at Stars Around. Miss the latest off-field antics and hijinks? We've got it covered for you.
That's right. We are coming back to Stars Around, which is always my favourite time of the day when UHC isn't around, which we will come back to when the season comes back. Brendan, I'm going to throw to you for a moment.
Yeah, one of my favourite things is watching the boys dress up, especially, anywhere. I guess any odd occasion, but the Australian Open always brings them out dressed up. But I want to send a special shout out to former WAG herself. Jules Neal looks like she's having a bit of fun, living her best life. She was spotted out at an after party after the game the other day, a bit late in the early hours, I guess. So, you know what I say to that? Good for her.
Good for her. Good on you, Jules. Getting out there, living your best new life. And we are all in favor of that. Now, I have a Stars Around as well. And this is actually, I'm going to do a callback.
Mm.
So you might remember recently we spoke to Samuel Roberts. We mentioned him at the top of the episode as well. Mm. And we asked Samuel, does his mullet bring him special powers in quickfire questions? And I'm actually going to put the same question out on notice to Jack Ginnivan and Nate Caddy, who in the off-season have decided to long crop their hair and absolutely bleach the out of it, which I'm all for. It reminds me of the early 2000s, which just makes me happy. And I'm wondering if the bleach soaking into their brain also gives them special powers.
Look, I'm sure it gives them something.
Yeah, they're very, very talented boys. So, let's see what they bring this season. I know when Matt Guelfi in Essendon had blonde hair, he had a blinder of a season that year. So
yeah, and then he went back to his natural colour. And I remember I actually asked him one day at training and he told me that it was damaging his hair. So he had to go back to his natural colour. And, that was a couple of seasons ago. So we'll see how they go.
Yeah, look, that's fair. We do always love when the boys, like Rory Lobb, when they do something crazy with their hair. But that is about all that we have time for today. Just a reminder, GAFL and Joy will be at the Midsummer Pride March this weekend. We will also be, well, not we, the Joy will be live streaming from there. So do feel free to check out that or listen if you can't make it down to St Kilda. And I also just wanted to remind everybody that from next week, we will be on Wednesdays at 9 o'clock.
We sure will. And coming up next, we've got an encore performance of the Open Table with Craig, special guest, former Mr. Universe himself, Johnny Berry. So stay tuned for that.
This encore one is worth listening, so do check it out. But before we do, we're going to leave you with our outro, and also in the spirit of our girl bangers that we've been playing all afternoon, one more, The Best Damn Thing by Avril Lavigne.
Thanks for listening to Gay AFL with Brendan and Chris.
For more queer footy content, find us on all your favourite podcast platforms at Gay AFL, a queer footy show.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.